true saying that the truth hurts. Truth is a painful thing to face, to hear. It has never been popular to tell the truth. But Ecclesiastes says clearly that the wounds of a faithful are the wounds of a friend. You could do one or two things with people. You can sugarcoat stuff so that you never really help them. They continue on in sin or in error. Or you can be brutal with people and stab them and walk away and enjoy the bleeding on the sidewalk. Neither one of those approaches is biblical or godly. What is biblical is to always tell the truth. And when you have stabbed them and they are bleeding, stand by them and help them to wrap up the wounds if they'll let you. Sometimes they will not let you. I had a friend years ago, Tom. And Tom and I were going through the chow line at the post office downtown, and I guess Tom wasn't in the best of moods and was a little brutal with the cashier. And I told him when we got to the table, I said, "Tom, that's kind of brutal what you said. That's very rude, very disrespectful to her." And he got real quiet and got a little mad at me and went up and apologized the next day to her. And then about a week later, Tom came to me and said this. He said, I know now that you're my friend. Because not only you told me the truth, and I've been mad at you for a week, but you have maintained your friendship with me. And now I know you care. It is never popular. Those who tell the truth in love, because they really care, will lose friends. Because not everyone's going to respond real well. If a man in the temple tells the truth to a bunch of scribes and Pharisees, the consequences is you're going to get thrown out. You're going to get booted. How much easier for the man to sugarcoat his answers and simply say to them, "Well, praise God, I've been healed. Let me continue worshiping with you." He says, no, he was adamant that a man named Jesus. And then he pressed the truth upon them. The truth has never been popular because the truth hurts. That's why they crucified Jesus Christ, and many a person will crucify you if you are loving and caring enough to say the truth. You can live in candy land if you like and sugarcoat it all, and people will feel either one way or another about you, but you will not help anyone. You will avoid unpleasant consequences and circumstances from people if you'll sugarcoat things, but you will not help them. You understand? John chapter 9, we're going to find a most precious moment when this man who persisted in telling the truth was more than thrown out of the temple. You've got to see it like it is within cultural setting. To get cast out of the temple is to be ostracized from society itself. The synagogue and the temple were the whole fabric of Jewish society. You lost your parents. You lost your friends. People wouldn't look at you the same way. You were excommunicated, not simply from a religious service, but from life itself for them. Do you understand the crushing consequences of this man telling the truth? But notice in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, Jesus heard that he had been cast out. News travels fast. Bad news travels at the speed of light. Does it not? It is a part of our fallen nature to crave bad news. You don't tune in the evening news to hear everything's peachy and wonderful. Once in a while they throw a story, but that doesn't sell. What sells is bad news. And this man getting kicked out is bad news. Now, let me warn you. When you hear bad news, jump to no conclusions. Pull yourself back and quietly evaluate the entire circumstances. Usually our first impulse is wrong. Normally, our first impulse has to do with what side we were on before the conflict. follow the man who was cast out of the temple. If you liked the guy and he was your friend, or if you had an axe to grind against the temple authorities, your immediate response is, I knew they were wrong all the time. Or if you're a fan of the religious crowd, and in that setting you were embraced within the temple and had a very strong place in Jewish society, when you find out this guy was cast out, oh, you just knew he was wrong. Do you understand how before you go into a conflict, your mind many times is already made up? Don't make your mind up about either way. Be open and listening to all sides. Take a look at John chapter 9, verse 36. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, do you believe? Now, I want you to notice Jesus' approach to this man. Do you believe in the Son of Man? He did not run back to the issue of why he had been thrown out. Jesus didn't bash the temple authorities. You didn't need them anyway. It's a good thing you got out of there. They're a bunch of... No. He directly deals with the individual person and their faith in him. Watch this. No man can help you. No temple authority can do a thing for you. Only Jesus can minister to you. Oswald Chambers, in his good writings on the Christian worker with different types of people, writes within a chapter of the Christian worker working with sick souls, which were all a little bent and sick along the path anyway. But the Christian worker working with sick souls says this. He warns the Christian worker, you can't understand what's going on. You don't know. You can't fix that. The best thing you can do is somehow get that person to Jesus. Because only Jesus can minister to a soul that is sick, to all of us. Only he can change us. Only he can transform us. Only he can show us where we need to repent and what we need to do. So Jesus finds him in the temple and asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? I love how this unfolds. He answered, oh, sure, I know who he is. I know. Yeah, sure, I know. That's what the religious crowd had always said. I know, I know, I know. This man says, "Who is he?" Only the heart that is open can learn. If you know something for sure, if you know it, you know it, you know it, you know it, no one can tell you a thing. But this man says this, I don't know. Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus says to him, and I could just imagine this moment, the crowds are just all around buzzing and talking, and there's that religious... The scribes and Pharisees with their hands under their armpits, just chest stuff out, puffed out, just so proud that they'd kicked this man out. Here was the grumbling, complaining crowd on this side, and everybody's just abuzz with this conflict. And here's Jesus with the man, knelt down probably, looking him square in the eye. I love this moment. Look what he says to him. He says, you have seen him. And it is he who is speaking to you. It doesn't get any clearer than that, does it not? You've seen him. Well, I ask you, when has he seen him? If you had to ask, who is he? He hadn't physically seen him, perhaps. Probably recognized the voice. But Jesus says, you have seen him. All the time, the man was testifying before the crowds, testifying before the religious. He was seeing Jesus. And he's talking to you right now. Now, the next three words are quite precious. The next three words that the man says is the whole core of religious experience. Notice what he says. Lord, I believe. Isn't that beautiful? That's how you got saved. That's how you grow. That's the whole pinnacle of it all. It isn't, Lord, I know. It's, Lord, I believe. It is faith born in Him towards the Lord Jesus Christ that alters and changes everything. Isn't it the moment that the chains all fall off? If you're in bondage, you don't believe deep enough. If you are enslaved to self and to sin, you don't believe deep enough. Believe, believe, and you will be free in that very moment. Free. What does free mean? Interesting question. I'm finishing a chapter on the people of the wood. People of the wood in the book is going to talk about the crowds that take the gospel and add prosperity and add comfort and pleasure and add living any way you want to live because you're forgiven now. It's the people of the wood. And within that people of the wood, over their big forest church service is the banner, free! Bisbee sits in the maple tree and whispers to his friend, oh look, it says free. And this is what his friend says back to him. They don't mean it the same way we do. To be free in the gospel means something quite different than to simply be free to live any way you want, to live with pleasure and comfort, never confronting the truth. To be free is to be free from me and self and flesh. Then Jesus erupts in verse 39 with this praise and worship. He says, for judgment I came into this world. If you find another statement in the gospel where you find Jesus said, I didn't come to judge. It almost looks contradictory, doesn't it? Jesus said in one hand, I didn't come to judge. I've came to forgive and to save. But here he says, it is for judgment that I have come. What does he mean? Whenever Jesus walks into a room, he divides people. He is the great divider. He is not he who brings people together. He divides. That's what truth does. That's what Christ does. I've come to send a sword, he said, between those who are saved and those who are lost. Between those who want to walk in truth and those who do not. Those who sit in the temple knowing things. And the blind man who knows he knows nothing. And who receives by faith Christ. It's a great divider, is it not? For judgment, he says in verse 39, I came into this world that those who do not see, the humble, the open, those who haven't got a clue that they may see. The problem is we know way too much. We figured out by reason these things. We know how to live. We know how to get by. We know how to survive. That's the problem. We're just surviving. It isn't until a man becomes clueless that he gets the first clue. It isn't until we know that we are blind that he gives sight. This is not only true the moment you got saved. This is true right now. Got the Christian life figured out? No, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Second thing he says, and those who see, I'm interested in this because it says that they may become blind. I would have thought they already are blind. The more truth you share with somebody and the more they reject it, the more blind they become. Follow me? When the truth is not backed off and the truth is continued to be shared, a person has a response of one of two ways. They will either humbly receive truth or they will be hardened against it. Do you understand? Like Pharaoh down in Egypt was hardened against the truth. The more you hear the gospel and the less you respond, the more hard you get to the gospel. So that you can sit under the sound of the gospel and go, can't wait to go get something to eat, man. Let's get this thing over. You cannot even hear a word that I'm saying of truth. And the harder you get, the more angry you get. And the more angry you get, the more numb you get to the whole thing. Amen. Notice the numbness of verse 40. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things. I love that. People just listen, don't they? They get kind of close, and they're kind of picking up on this and that, and Jesus isn't whispering these things, and so they hear him. So they got a great question. It wasn't asked with the right motive, perhaps, but it was a good question. He said, "Are we also blind? Are you talking about us? You talking about me? You talking about me?" I'll stop there. Hard to resist that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about Jesus. Look what he says. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you wouldn't have any guilt." The King James says you wouldn't have your sin. If you were blind, maybe I could give you some sight. And you wouldn't have your sin. But now you say, notice it says we say. Notice it says we say. Notice what they say. It says, you say, we see. See the problem? It's not rocket science. This isn't hard to figure out. We know. We see. We got it figured out. My cup is full. You can't pour anything else in it. Now, my cup might have scum water in it. It might be putrid. It might stink. But it's my cup and it's full. You can't pour anything into a full, scummy cup. At least he won't. I know you could pour it in and it'll just wash out again, but he won't do it. He pours when the cup is empty. When you say that you are blind. When you do not know. Religion makes you very confident. Christ humbles us all the time, showing us we don't know anything. Paul told the Corinthians, knowledge puffs us up. Love builds us up and edifies. Okay. A couple things. If something's behind me, yeah. You know, he doesn't work until we stop. He doesn't work in your life until you stop working. Go on and serve him and work at him and work this thing and work this thing and fix everybody around you and do ministry on your own terms in your own way for your own glory. Minister like you want to minister, and he's just not going to minister anymore. He doesn't share the load with you. He doesn't cooperate with your program at all. He works when you don't. When you realize I am not God in everybody's life. I can't fix everybody out there. I can't do that. As long as you have your hands in ministry, your life's focused on, this is what I'm doing, he won't do anything. He's not there. He doesn't share. He is everything or he is nothing. As long as a person is trying to save themselves by being religious, he cannot save them. He does not work until we stop. Number two, we know nothing when we know it all. We have decided to rip up some carpet and put some laminate flooring down. I'm going to try it myself and see how it goes. They say it's like putting a puzzle together. We'll find out. So I had this big project in my mind, and we found the laminate flooring that we wanted at Floor Decor. And so, you know, when a man gets a project on his mind, it's about all that captivates him. I mean, it's just his mind is just, you know, I've got to get the tools and get the carpet up, and what's my next step? And so they have this laminate flooring there. Ed's laughing because he's going to enjoy me trying to do this. I know he is. They had this laminate flooring. They had a couple, you know, enough boxes for what I needed, but it was a clearance item, nice low price. And so I'm rushing up there. I'm thinking, you know, Murphy's Law, you're thinking somebody's going to come 30 minutes before me and buy the laminate flooring that I want, you know. So And so I'm thinking all this stuff, and I pull into Flooring Decor, and I see their big sign, and it says, the floors, no, it says, the wood store. The wood store. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. So I look back at it again. It didn't say the wood store. It said tile, wood, stone. Do you understand how my mind was focused on one thing? And that's what I saw. I saw the wood floor. But it said tile, wood, stone. See, when your mind is clouded, you can't hear. You see things and perceive things completely wrong. It's not until we clear our mind and really take a second look that we see tile, wood, stone. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. It's fascinating how the mind plays on you, doesn't it? The mind will tell you things that aren't true. The mind will trick you at times. Jesus holds us all responsible for that. Do you know that? The seed had a couple different soils that it went into, basically four different soils, the hard and rocky, remember the thorny and the, you know, he holds man responsible for the condition of the heart. You choose. God doesn't override your free will. He just won't do that. He respects you too much. He will let you continue to go on in hardness, coldness, confusion, and he waits patiently for you to open up to him. But you may never. You know, people do die without Christ. People do die as believers in bitterness and anger over time. The truth has never been popular. Never. The truth hurts. But it is the only way that God can reach the human heart. By touching the very sin within us and pricking us, and none of us like it, do we? We live in a culture where it's kind of politically incorrect to correct anything or anyone. Let a school discipline a child. Church discipline is something of the past for most churches. Lord forbid if a parent disciplines. But it's the truth that helps us. It's really our only hope. Do you know Christ today? Have you listened to the gospel all these years and not responded? Cold and calloused? God waits. It's your responsibility to respond. You can't affect the things that happen to you in life, but you can sure make choices of whether it's going to make you bitter or better. Open your heart to Him.